listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And with us today, Ron Chmielis, columnist with the Springfield Republican newspaper, and Natalia Munoz, host of Vaya con Munoz on WHMP. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you.
There's a lot of questions swirling around the offices of the Daily Hampshire Gazette newspaper in Northampton. Its former executive editor, Jeff Good, said this week he was fired for speaking out for higher pay for female journalists.
Let me tell you who started it. It wasn't the publisher. It wasn't me. It was these three women who had the courage to walk through the door and say, I have a question and I want some answers.
Good at first got some great media attention, but then a number of his former employees questioned his commitment to pay equity, and one of the reporters he said he was standing up for called her meetings with him on the issue, quote, secretive and stressful. So, Ron, what are your thoughts on all of this?
Well, first of all, I know people at the Gazette, but not those people. None of the people in the story are people that I know personally. So I'm not going to make that judgment. Newspapers and media are always uncomfortable when that type of story is the story. It's a fascinating story because he's portraying himself more or less as a hero, and other people are saying he's part of the problem. So I don't know the answer, but it's very disappointing that we even have this debate. It should be a given that women are treated equally than men. And yet it still seems to be a tug of war, even in media, which is supposed to stand up for it.
Natalia, what are your thoughts on this? I should also mention you used to write a column for the Gazette.
Yes, I think that it's lamentable that the Jeff Good tried to create this persona for himself as a defender of women. And at the same time, when women came out publicly and said, no, you weren't the defender of women, then he attacked them and called them disgruntled. And I think that that doesn't show any class. And it made me cringe because actually I got my first break at the Gazette in the 1980s. That is my hometown newspaper. And I'm very sorry to see that it's dissolved into this public fight that was started by Jeff Good after he was fired.
Yeah, you're also mentioning a couple of former editors that he called disgruntled and upset former employees. So.
And can I add that the media, as you mentioned, Adam, the media articles at the beginning of this story that Jeff Good created in order to make himself be the good guy, they were badly reported. They were badly written. They didn't seek out the voices of other people in the newsroom. They gave credence to why people do not like the media. They did not do the kind of work, the legwork that you are supposed to do. And I would encourage them to go see the movie The Post and see how it's done.
Meanwhile, the state's gaming commission is looking into a $7.5 million settlement with casino mogul Steve Wynn, and he paid that to a manicurist over a sexual misconduct claim. The Wall Street Journal broke this particular story. Wynn's company was awarded a license for the lone full casino in the eastern part of Massachusetts currently being built in Everett. The chair of the gaming board, Steve Crosby, says there needs to be transparency during this investigation.
The public has a right to know. The people in Massachusetts have a right to know what the hell happened here. And no punches pulled, good, bad, or indifferent.
Natalia, Wynn's $2.4 billion project is scheduled to open next year. If these allegations are true, what should gambling regulators do about it?
I don't know, because I think of all the professions out there, the casino, that's not a beacon of good behavior for me. That's not the kind of industry that I think of. These are people who are held to a higher moral standard than someplace else, like, say, I don't know, the Vatican. I'm not defending Steve Wynn. What I'm saying is that casino culture is to objectify women, is to have sexual harassment part of what happens in that environment by demeaning women. So that he may or may not have done this, should that play a role in whether, you know, 4,000 people get a job in Everett to construct the casino, I really don't have an answer. I just think, yeah, well, what can you expect from, you know, the casino culture?
Ron, the commission's investigators said the allegations against Wynn and the settlement did not come to light during the vetting process prior to awarding the casino to his company. Does that mean Wynn's good at concealing things, or did the commission drop the ball here?
Well, I think it's a stretch to blame the commission for not knowing every single thing. But look at all the things that we're finding out about a lot of people that good people didn't know. But I think at the end, Natalia said something important at the beginning and at the end. One, she said, I don't know. Neither do I. The vote's 2-0. The other thing is there's a lot of jobs at stake. There's a lot of revenue at stake. And as reprehensible as this alleged behavior is, I wouldn't want to see those jobs and that revenue, especially the jobs, jeopardized for the sake of one man's malfeasance.
So you don't agree with me with what I said in the middle?
Oh, I agree with everything you said.
But okay,
we're on a time constraint
here.
And we'll head to Connecticut next, which continues to experience issues with its state budget deficit. And Governor Daniel Malloy wants to bring back tolls to the state's highways. The plan, which also includes higher gas and car taxes, unveiled this week, would have electronic tolling up and running by 2022. The state abolished fees to use highways in the 1980s after a horrible crash at a toll booth. Natalia, is this a good idea for Connecticut?
According to the governor, it is, because they need the money to maintain the roads and the bridges. And this is not money that's coming from the federal government, because we have someone in the White House and a majority in both houses in D.C. that can't get that ball moving.
Ron Malloy says he's always said that highway tolls were a likelihood in the future. He's also said he's not running for re-election. Any irony there?
What a coincidence. But then again, that does bring out a little bit of honesty. They do need the money in Connecticut. Their economy is not as healthy as they wanted it to be. And if the reason they haven't had tolls is because of a crash, that's a tragedy. But it's not a reason to cut off revenue sources. It looks like they're going to have to do it. And I think he's just being honest.
And on Sunday, the New England Patriots will go for yet another NFL title when they meet the Philadelphia Eagles in Super Bowl 52. It's been an unbelievable run for the Pats that's lasted almost two decades. Ron, this week you wrote about the Patriots' rather humble origins in their first training camp, which took place in our own backyard at UMass Amherst. Is it surprising to you that this franchise is where it is today, given its early struggles?
Well, no, because I've seen it's been around for almost 60 years. You have ups and downs. I think a lot of younger fans didn't realize this franchise used to be a laughingstock. So I don't blame Patriots fans for enjoying this run for as long as it can go.
Natalia, any predictions?
I think football is a violent, horrible game.
That's not a prediction. That's a statement of fact.
Yes.
Natalia Munoz, host of Vaya con Munoz on WHMP, and Ron Chmielewski with the Springfield Republican Newspaper. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
And thank you, our loyal listeners of the shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time, wherever you can get your podcasts, or at nepr.net/podcast. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.